You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
In only 2 days, you can move your career further, faster with a Harvard DCE Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and move your career in the right direction. You'll earn a certificate of completion, add Harvard to your CV, and become the leader you want to be. Our intensive programs are designed to fit into your busy schedule. Attend online or on the Harvard campus. Search Harvard Professional and Executive Development to learn more.
What's up, everyone? I'm Noah Daniels.
Hey, y'all. I'm JJ.
Hey, guys. It's Kat.
And on this episode, we had an author reach out to us who has investigated the paranormal and has some really awesome stuff to share. His name is M.R. Gorga. Is that right?
That is correct. Gorga.
I really fought under pressure for some reason.
Say it with confidence, Noah. That's right.
M.R. Gorga, thank you so much for joining us. How long have you been into the paranormal?
I think it's just been almost like a lifelong thing for me. It's just, you know, I grew up in New Jersey at the time when Amityville Horror was out, and the Son of Sam was running around with a .44 caliber, kind of, you know, blowing people away and
casual
and
super casual.
And it's just, yeah, and then, you know, and then you know, just this. This fear or this thing just kind of like washed over the Tri-County area, you know, and it just sort of, I guess it just had an effect on me, and, you know, just had some experiences as a little kid as well. So it's just kind of always been there, and it's, you know, it's just made its way into my writings.
And Amityville Horror, that is like, isn't that based on a true story of...
It is. It was, yeah. I believe it was Ed and Lorraine Warren who investigated the house. But yeah, it's based on a true story. You got some people will say it's a hoax and other people say it's real, and, you know.
I wonder which one you would be, JJ.
Well, one thing we'd love to find out with our guests is where they fall on the believometer. 0 meaning they don't believe in ghosts and the supernatural, and 10, it is absolutely real. Where do you fall on that scale?
I believe they're absolutely real, but I believe that they are not ghosts at all.
Okay. Like people who are like trapped in time or something?
Or spirits or...
No, I believe that they're demonic entities.
Okay.
Masquerading as ghosts.
Oh.
Interesting. Okay.
And what led you down that path?
Just knowing how this realm behind the curtain works, the unseen realm of dark forces and demon spirits, how they operate, and they're able to kind of transform themselves into any shape or form that they want. They can transform, you know, into dead relatives, and, you know, they can mimic your deceased grandmother's voice to a T. And so, you know, they're really, really skilled in deception and manipulation. And so I believe, it is my belief, that much of what we see that people believe that are ghosts are actually demon spirits in disguise, a devil with a mask on.
Right.
And is that what led you to write the book Demons Among Us?
Yeah. Well, the reason why I wrote Demons Among Us was the book is actually an answer to a series of nighttime assaults I was having by these demonic attacks by demon spirits and beings. And so I would wake up, you know, with iron, steely hands, you know, clenching my throat to choke me, taking my breath away, pressings into the bed, evil whisperings into my ear in some strange demon-y language, whatever that was. But, you know, bitings and scratchings and things of that nature. And this is going on for, you know, some time, like over a week, a nightly, you know, some kind of nightly attack. And so, so I know that they, the last thing that they want to do is to be exposed and shed the light on how they operate and how they function in the world without anybody really kind of knowing it. And so I said, okay, well, you're going to hit me. I'm going to hit back. And, you know, so Demons Among Us is the answer to those string of nighttime assaults. And that's primarily why I wrote the book, was to alert people to the dark forces that are functioning behind the realm of the paranormal without them even knowing it.
Right.
And how it might influence their lives around them, you know.
And did you have something trigger those effects? Was there something that took place in your life that kind of opened Pandora's box to these demons?
Yeah. Well, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And what that means is you become a target. It means that you have a mortal enemy that's going to attack you. And so, you know, at that time I was functioning in a high level of ministry, being a prayer leader in a church, in a ministry that I belonged to. And so that really, when you engage in what we call spiritual warfare, meaning you're praying against dark forces and demonic things and everything of that nature, that really sets that, puts that target on your back. And so it wasn't only me that was experiencing those experiences at that time. In fact, at one of the prayer meetings, I had asked the people there, it was like 25, 30 people. And I said, is anybody experiencing these things at night, these nighttime attacks? And then, you know, one by one, these hands started to raise. And before it was all said and done, it was like 13 people had raised their hands, and they were all experiencing very, very similar attacks at the same time. And that's, you know, that's another part why I wrote the book as well, because, you know, it just angered me that, you know, it made me think that, okay, if we're being attacked, and then how many other people are under the influences of demonic powers and dark forces and dark influences without them even knowing it. So, and that's part in part what fueled the writing as well.
So I'd love to know more on the religious side of things. I grew up in the church and everything, and there were so many stories about visions and, you know, people talking to angels or spirits in person or in their dreams, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Would you say, like, how can you be confident that those also aren't kind of these demonic forces coming through if they are showing themselves, you know, in current times to people? You know, I don't know if you've listened to some of our episodes, but we've had some dear friends that, you know, talk about people that they see or have communicated with. And, you know, it's some of them very helpful, some of them not so much, the spirits there. So, you know, saying that all of them are kind of these demonic forces, I'm just curious kind of how that relates back to, or kind of what you've learned.
Well, I'm going to speak from personal experience.
Yeah.
Because when these things enter the room, it comes with such palpable fear and eeriness and just this sense of alarm. And so for me, it all comes down to personal experiences. And not only that, I mean, there's instances, and you can read these in the book, where I've had apparitions appear right at my bedside, and the hatred and the vehement anger and hatred that was really roiling off of this entity was not just felt like on me, but it was burning through my entire body like mm-hmm. hot boiling tar. So these entities come with such a power and a force, and it comes with such such deep seated hatred and a black dread that these things to me are that's what it tells me, that these things are demonic powers.
When you say you have like an apparition come to you, like, is this something where like, are you in like a dream state? Are you fully awake? And like, what exactly is it that you're seeing?
Yeah, no, some states are different. I mean, typically they wake you up from a dead sleep. Mm-hmm. When I talk about these midnight stranglings or these late night stranglings, it's usually about between three and four in the morning. And you're woken up out of a dead sleep. And clearly there's something clenching your throat and squeezing. And so I don't think it's something that you can kind of dream up, because you wake up and you're like, you know, you jolt up. And then, so what happens is they steal your breath away. So you can't kind of cry out for a minute. Yeah. So you do have this moment of panic, because it really does feel like you're going to die.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have sleep apnea, and sometimes I wake up and I'm like out of breath, and I have to like I haven't been breathing for like 20 or 30 seconds, and like I wake up gasping for breath. But right. Like, is it like that, or like, do you like feel like the force like on your neck,
or maybe even your that force is the question of like, is something happening to you which influences your vision or your nightmare or your dream, or is it the right, or is it the vision that you're having of the demon that's making you feel it viscerally in my head? But yeah, curious what you think.
Yeah, some of the apparitions and some of the things are different. So there's different, they attack in different ways. Sometimes it's absolutely invisible. But to answer your question, yes, it would be like steel, hands of steel clenched around your throat, squeezing.
Yikes.
Very tightly, like a vice. And so you can't imagine that. It's not any part of sleep apnea. It's right. Not any part of imagining.
Just had to cross my T's, make sure.
No, it's not any part of like imagining, right? If uh-huh. somebody was strangling you, you would know it, right?
Right.
Okay. So it is the same thing. And so these things operate, you know, at times invisibly. And then there's other times where they'll show themselves, you know, in various forms, in various kinds of ways. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it just depends on how they decide to show up. And when I talk about the thing at my bedside, mm-hmm. it was both physical and spiritual at the same time, because it was very much 3D. It was very much, you know, as if I'm looking at you now, but, you know, and then there's parts of it you can actually, you know, see through. I didn't tell the story, but I'm just telling you glimpses of that, of the story of that entity. Yeah. But, you know, so it just depends on how they kind of show up. But these things are not imagined. These things are real, because these things are really happening and functioning in the world around us. And so when you have these things enter the room, you know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as a person, you know, who is religious and goes to church, I'm not sure if you were in the Catholic Church or not, but did you try to have any exorcisms or cleansings done of your home to try to relieve yourself of these entities?
Well, the thing is I have authority to dispel them and to cast them out. Being a believer or a follower of Jesus Christ, he has given such indescribable power to those who believe in him and in his name, his followers. And he said that I give you power to trample on snakes and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, meaning that he has deposited this power inside of his believers into frail humanity, and to have power over these supernatural beings who are so far superior in intellect and power and might and cunning. And so he gives us this power that all we need to do is use the name of Jesus and these things flee, like nothing, just disappear. So I don't term it as cleansing. I term it as casting them out.
And so are you having to cast out each individual event?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so these things are happening to you. You said they were happening to other people in the church.
Yeah.
Since you've written your book, have you had more people reach out to you and describe similar events?
Oh yeah. It's really a weird thing because, you know, when you write a book like Demons Among Us, the whole time you're thinking, oh man, everyone's going to think I am absolutely out of my mind. Right. And, but the exact opposite happened. I mean, it was not something I expected. And all of a sudden, like, people feel comfortable kind of, you know, coming up and saying, you know, well, you know, hey, I read your book and I had this experience, or this has happened to me, or I've seen this, or hey, I'm struggling with these demons are attacking me at night. Some of these emails that I get from people are just, you know, there's whoa. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have to pray for these people because they're under, you know, it's just not me under that. There's other mm-hmm. people who are also under attack as right. well. And so when you hear these types of stories, it can be very, very disconcerting and alarming. But it did, even my own mother, actually, my own mother. So she reads a book and she says, you know, I have a story that happened to me. And I was like, she tells me this story. I won't tell it because it's hers to tell. And I was like, are you kidding me? I said, how had this in our entire lives of you being my mother, have you not mentioned this not once,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that's what the book is helping people to do, is really just kind of come out and say, yeah. I have this happening to me and I'm not going to think you're crazy. Because these things are really functioning in the world about us. And so I don't look at it as crazy. I have yeah. a whole other view on this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, this is the first time we've had someone come on and kind of explain this side of it, which yeah. I have a family member who very similarly agrees and sees it this way as well. She's not mm-hmm. a fan of me doing this podcast. Granted, I see that.
Just the podcast?
I am curious, when you've had these interactions and experiences and battles, had there ever come points where you have been able to verbally communicate with the demon and it communicates back to you? Like, is there any plot or purpose to what they're doing? Or is it just everything is driven, presumably out of pure evil and spite?
A couple of things. Well, first of all, you don't want to engage with a demonic spirit because it's more cunning than you and it's more powerful than you. It'll overtake you, right? And that's why we need Jesus, because he's bigger, badder, and meaner. He's not emaciated guy on a cross. He's an almighty, powerful king, and so he has power. He has given us this power over these demonic entities, and that's it. So when we try mm-hmm. to do it in our own strength, it's just not going to happen. And according, you know, try to do it in our own ways, it's not going to happen. But to answer that, what was the additional question again?
Yeah, I was just wondering in your
verbally. Communicating.
Yeah. Oh, verbally communicate. Yeah. You don't, sorry. Yeah. You don't want to enter into it because it's like I said, they're smarter, but I did, have an entity speak directly into my hearing and into my ear. And that story it was the first time I had just become a new believer in Christ. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything about Jesus. I didn't know anything about anything. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what it sounded like. I had no idea how to do it. I don't know. You know, I'm fresh off the banana boat. I don't know what's going on. I was like, all right, let me give this prayer thing a shot. Right. And so my prayer was like, God, I'm not even sure that you're real. Right. And so anyway, so I'm doing what I think to do. Right. And then all of a sudden, I was on my knees at my bedside. And then all of a sudden I sense and I feel something enter into the room. And it's a very, very creepy, antagonistic sensation. And I know it's evil. And it comes up right behind my right ear. And so I scrunch my shoulder back and scrunch my shoulder, like kind of like shoo it away. But because I'm sure as hell not going to look back because I don't know what is exactly back there. Mm-hmm. And then it spoke, and then it said, "You may have gone to God, but you belong to me."
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box. When you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
You're always gonna be mine. I'm never gonna let you go.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And
scary.
It was clear as day, as clear as I'm speaking to you. And contrary to what Hollywood would have you believe, the voice was not hoarse and gravelly and monstery.
Mm-hmm.
The voice was silvery, smooth, baritone, princely and regal, and there was authority in it. And so it was this almost like kingly kind of power. But underneath that princely sort of tone was you could sense this undercurrent of evil of what it was saying. And wow. that was the first time I, you know, my intro into the whole spirit realm. That was basically the cementing moment where I was like, okay, all this is real.
And yeah. Demons are real, God is
real, Jesus is real, and we're all in the middle of it.
Only thing that I go to in my head right now is, you know, and thank you for sharing all of this. I think I totally understand and respect it. And I'm so happy that you're sharing it with us because it's a new perspective for sure. In my head, you know, we've had so many guests come on and talk about kind of the more, the darker energies that they've come into counter with. You know, we've had so many people tell us about, like, before they start any type of channeling or communication, how they, you know, say their mantra with guarding them in the white light and good light, not necessarily identifying with God or Christianity, although some do definitely. Mm-hmm. And then at the same thing with the evil ones, they are casting them out and they have very secure boundaries there to protect themselves and the people around them. But to me, it's the same. You guys are saying the same things, but it's different, right? But some are for God, and or some are not. But not specifically saying not for God, but like same situations, but identifying in different. Maybe religions are different, just where they are spiritually. And so, for me, are you able to like? And same to them. Would y'all be able to be like? Yes, we're doing the same things, or would you say it's, does that make sense? Am I making sense?
Yeah, and we are both speaking about the spirit realm, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, in that regard. And second, we are not talking about the same power, because I'm talking about the power that comes from Jesus. It comes from heaven, mm-hmm. and it's in his name alone that mm-hmm. we have power over these demonic and protection over these demonic entities. Mm-hmm. When we enter into the spirit realm unguarded, mm-hmm. unprotected by Christ, we are still unprotected, even though we've said some sort of incantation or anything of that night, because you're still functioning. Mm-hmm. If you're functioning in any of this spiritual work outside of God and in Christ, you're functioning in what is called witchcraft.
And for people listening to this, you know, who may be unfamiliar with your work, but you know, I've heard points and parts of this philosophy before, and maybe are struggling with feeling like they are now being attacked. What would you suggest to those people to help them get control of the situation?
So people under attack by demonic powers? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, yeah, you have to, I would say you need, a power greater than yourself, because you're not going to be able to defeat these supernatural invisible forces, of evil, by your own. And so I say all that to say is that you're going to need Jesus Christ on your side. So I would advise them to get saved, accept Jesus Christ into their life, and then you will have the power, because it's not only a power, it's a promise that he gives to his believers, whether you're at day one or, you know, all the way down the line. You are afforded this power. And so that's what I would say, because, you know, when you're functioning into the realm of the paranormal, into the realm of the spiritual without Jesus Christ, you're unprotected and you're open to demonic onslaught.
I'm curious, because like it's, you know, it's not often that we have someone on the show that has like a very, and I don't know if this is fair to say, but like very textual interpretation of Christianity. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair characterization, that like, you know, the it seems like you like for you, your religion is very much like you know, like what is in the book, right? Like mm-hmm.
fair to say.
And I haven't, full disclosure, I haven't read the whole Bible. I've read, you know, portions of it. I grew up very religious. Yeah. But like it seems like demons and the devil are mentioned in some places, but it's not a big part of it. And I guess I've always just kind of struggled with, like, if God is all powerful and created everything in the universe, then he or she or they would also have had to have created. Well, for you, yeah, like
it's a he. Okay. Well, no, he says he's a he.
I mean, I think that he is an entity that humans invented. So we'll disagree on that, and that's okay. It's fine to disagree on that kind of stuff and have a conversation.
Yeah.
But like, why then do demons and the devil exist? And why do you need to constantly be warding them off if, you know, there's an all-powerful entity that made everything in the universe out of love and kindness?
Right. Well, okay. Well, you have a many layered, I guess, question there.
Sorry, take your time. Yeah. So I took my time asking it. So.
Okay. So let me start at the beginning. At the beginning, God created an angelic race, right? This is in heaven. This is before Earth. This is before cosmos. This is before stars. This is before light. This is before time. Before time and the world existed was heaven, God in heaven. So he created angels, right? And they were created to love him and to be loved by him. Now, what happened in heaven was that there was an angel there named Lucifer who thought he should be God or could be God. And I want to just take 1 second to talk about like who Lucifer actually is. I know in Hollywood, we'd like to give him gravelly voices and horns and make him red with a pitchfork and a pointy tail and a goatee. But biblically speaking, he was the most beautiful angel God had ever created. And he held the highest rank an angel could have, where he was the guardian covering cherub above God's throne. And not only that, his physical form was made with all kinds of jewels, which was like diamonds, beryl, onyx, sapphire, ruby, topaz, and all of these shimmering jewels were made of his body. So when he moved, he was like this glistening.
So can I just pause real quick? Cause I do want to like give you plenty of time to answer everything, but just like where in the Bible is that description? Like
that's
what?
In Isaiah.
Oh, okay. I will take your word for it, but I just, you know, from like the whole angelic races and like all the details, I'm like, man, I missed that in Sunday school. I guess I didn't get those portions.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. If you haven't read it, it's phenomenal because there's so much stuff in there that people don't really realize how supernatural and how paranormal the book actually really is. Mm-hmm. So it's in there. If you ever want to check it out, it's in Isaiah. I want to say, I don't know if it's 40 or 53 or 55 or whatever, but it's the book of Isaiah. And that Isaiah was one of what's known as one of the major prophets. He was one of the major seers in the Bible. And he is one who prophesied Christ almost to a T. Well, to a T, because there is no almost in prophecy. It's 100%. And so, yes, if you want to check it out, just, you know, check out the book of Isaiah. You can find the scriptures about Lucifer there. And so, but not only was he this shimmering spectacle of brilliant light, he was there were musical instruments in his form as well. It says pipes and timbrels were within his form, and those were musical instruments. And so he thought that it's thought that he was actually the music or the choir leader of all of heaven. So when he moved, he was orchestration. So not only was Lucifer, you know, like play music, he was music. So we have this, basically what I said, I'll say like heaven, Lucifer was heaven's rock star. And so, and all of heaven sang the devil's songs and worshiped a god. He wasn't the devil at the time. He was beloved. Mm-hmm. He was Lucifer. So what happened was, because of his exalted station, he became prideful. He thought that he should be God. So Satan or Lucifer, he goes to the angels and he decides to wage a war in order to take the throne of God. And so, long story short, God's not having it. He kicks him out of heaven, and he's cast out of heaven. And he's not cast out of heaven into hell. He cast out of heaven to the earth. And so, and the devil took a third of the angels with him. And so I don't know how many millions or billions that is, but I would imagine that it's, you know, that it far outweighs the number of humans on Earth.
How many did you say there was?
It's countless.
Oh,
yeah. He took a third. He took a third of them. Gotcha. So that's how influential he is in his argument, that he was able to influence one third of the angels to engage in this rebellion in heaven. And I said all that to say is because he was loved at one point, and because he had the ability to choose love or not love. Because if we weren't able to have our choice of loving someone, then we would be robots, right? So God allows us to have free will because that's love. If we were just to be commanded to love him, that would not be love, would it?
So what do Satan and God get out of all of this? I mean, it just kind of sounds like a numbers game between them. And it's always made me feel kind of like.
It's love. It's the love of God. Once you experience the love of God, you will never experience anything else ever the same. Mm-hmm. And so once we're able to kind of breach this broken relationship that we have, that humanity has with its creator, it's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that mends that broken relationships. And once we're able to mend that broken relationship, we can experience this incredible love of God that he has for humanity. So for the outsider who's never experienced it, it seems like a foreign and a crazy thing. But for those who are called into it, it's a thing beyond all language, beyond anything that you can't, it's indescribable and it's unexplainable. But he did all that because he created all that. He created them. He created us for love, to love them and to be loved back. And because we have this, because we can have the power of choice, God does not interrupt and stop many forms of evil, because that would interrupt the free will. And that would make us robots.
And we are actually coming up on our hour. Sorry, guys. I don't mean to stop the debate of wherever
not
this
a,
is.
Not a
I
debate.
Wasn't debating.
Just
I wasn't
a conversation.
Debating. I was explaining.
You know, this is the thing that, like, I love talking to people about, like, their religious beliefs and their viewpoints. And I feel like the word atheist is a trigger for a lot of people who then assume that I instantly want to have a debate and prove them wrong. I'm like, no, I don't really care. Like, if you want to talk about it, let's talk about it. And vice versa. I feel like there are non-Christian people who the word Christian is a trigger word. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I'm all about just talking about it, you know?
Yeah.
So we do thank you for coming on. Mm-hmm. For audience members who have heard this episode and they're like, yeah, I really dig what he's saying. I want to learn more about his experiences and his viewpoint on demons and religion. How can our audience get in touch with you? Where can they buy their book? What's the best way to reach out to you?
Well, you can find Demons Among Us, Shocking Real Life Stories from the Paranormal. Oh, it is a number one bestseller, by the way. So the book is an Amazon number one bestseller, and you find it on Amazon. Right now, it's available in print and Kindle versions, and I should have the audio book coming soon. And you can find me on Instagram at m.r.gorga and on Facebook at mrgorga.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks for coming on.
All right. Yeah. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.